Amen. Boudreaux's wife was alone on the farm. She was alone because old Boudreaux got himself locked up. She was mad. When Boudreaux called her and said he was locked up and would be there for several weeks, she went wild. She said, "I've got to do all the farm chores. I've got to get up early in the morning, and I've got to plow 40 acres by myself. How am I supposed to do that in order to plant those beans?" Very quietly, he told her on the phone, "Clarice, don't you dare plow those 40 acres. That's where I hid all the money." The next week, he called her to see how things were. She said, "Boudreaux, the phone's tapped." Sheriff Thibodeau was listening in. The moment we hung up, he showed up and dug up all those 40 acres looking for the money. "What am I supposed to do?" He said, "The 40 acres are plowed. Plant the beans." Think about it. You'll get there. This is the last in a series of sermons called Coping with Life's Disappointments as Disciples of the Kingdom. It's about plowing the fields. Today, we look at a piece of scripture called the Synoptic Thunderbolt from the Johannine sky, because Luke and Matthew both record this wonderful fragment, perhaps from an early liturgy of Thanksgiving, where renowned professor Reginald Fuller of Virginia Seminary said, "Best understand this scripture as a celebration of knowledge that God has come through Jesus Christ, and this is a halfway house towards the development of the Johannine discourses." In other words, this is the wisdom of God telling you, brothers, chill. Telling you, sisters, chill. Be at peace. Cast your anxiety on Him. In men's Bible study this past week, which was a wonderful time, we heard of the legend of Jesus. The legend was he was a master yoke maker for oxen. And being the astute intellectual I am, I went 3 hours down the rabbit hole looking up this legend. And let me tell you, there's some interesting things about it. I was so grateful it was brought up. According to the legend, people could shop at Jesus' carpentry store for yokes, for oxen. Now, for those of you that are too young to know what yokes are, think of the arches at McDonald's. That's your image. Okay, it works. Jesus would come out, measure how many hands high the oxen were, how many stones they weighed, looked at the broadness of their shoulders, and design a yoke so that the pull would be less. They would bring the oxen back another day. He would refit, sand it, and it would be perfect, absolutely perfect. And he would watch how they pulled together to make sure the team wasn't too stressed. That's our image. I want you to go back in Jesus' time. It was a time of great anxiety. The world was cruel, torn apart by uncertainty. Religious leaders were twisting the Torah. The burden was on the back of the faithful. And God's wisdom comes along and says, no. God doesn't love the rich and makes them rich any more than He despises the poor and makes them poor. God doesn't make you sick because your parents sinned. This is not the wisdom of God. The temple is a place of holiness. It's not for money changers. And then He does the unthinkable. He sits down with publicans. I love that word, publicans. It means tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes. He says sinners are not to be shunned. They are to be forgiven and shown a better way. All of us deserve the love of God. And so the thunderbolt strikes from the sky. Now, in those days, and you may not know this, they would try to fit old ox with new ox, with a new ox, a young ox, because the older ox knew how to pull, how to work in the yoke, how to plow the field, how to pull a heavy load. The younger ox, well, tried to go off on a different way, independent, headstrong, and it took a while for the young ox to get in rhythm. So the old ox had to do most of the work. Now, what's interesting, as the pair grew older, and they always tried hard to match old oxen with young oxen, the old oxen would get older and sickly and couldn't pull as much, and the younger oxen would then take over and pull most of the load. Is that not a metaphor for the church? This is what Jesus is talking about. The ox struggled until it learned how to walk. The thunderbolt. And what's interesting, if you look at this Greek word that means my yoke is easy, the root word actually means it fits right. It fits right. So the yoke fits right. What an image. When life kicks us in the stomach, when bad things happen, what do? A one-time lapse in an otherwise sterling career should not end that career. A misstep in marriage, family, friends, whatever, doesn't mean it's over. In 1962, July 22nd, the Venus flyby mission rocket took off, Mariner 1. It was launched. Today, it would cost over $600 million. It blew up in 5 minutes. The reason it blew up? There was one single hyphen in the mathematical code that had been left off. One single hyphen. How many times have you let that hyphen define your life? How many times have I let it define mine? That one misstep, that one error, that one lapse in judgment. And we want to define our entire lives by that one hyphen. We shouldn't do that. Because Jesus is saying, let me help you with your burden. Let me help you. You can't fix it by yourself. You've got a community of faith, clergy, family, friends, and you have me. But that sense of human pride makes us like the young ox. We know best. We can get there on our own. Instead of looking to our right and seeing Jesus pulling with us, we look to our left and don't see anybody, and we try to do it ourselves. Maybe that's why he said, thank you for hiding it from the learned. Thank you for hiding it from the clever and giving it only to children. What he's really saying is, what do children do? They try to do it the right way. Children want to learn. Children want to be gracious and good. You ever been to a sixth grade soccer match? What happens afterwards? One team is down. The team that just beat them will walk over and they'll put their arms around and say, you know, it's going to be okay. Maybe you'll beat us next time. That's not going to happen at Baylor University football, I can guarantee you. Children do that instinctively. And Jesus is saying we've got to be like those children and understand our success comes when we rely on the wisdom of God. I don't want you to think that you're giving up your independence. You're not giving up your entrepreneurship. You're not giving up your leadership. Actually, those things go hand in hand when you walk with Christ. They do. Think about this. You ever heard of the number two yogurt shop in America called Sweet Frog? It was done by a physician who knew nothing about the food industry but loved yogurt. He named it Sweet Frog. Frog meaning fully rely on God. That's the name of the shop. You ever been to Forever 21? Look in the bottom of the bag, John 3:16. You ever eaten an In-N-Out burger? Look on the cups or somewhere on your tray and there's a Bible verse oddly placed in small letters, just the sight. They do that because these leaders know we're successful because we walk with God. And I think that's what Jesus is trying to say with this wonderful metaphor of walking. Unfortunately, many of us feel like Mother Teresa of Calcutta. I know I do. That's why I love this quote. When those burdens get to you, maybe you feel like she did when she said, I know God will not give me anything I can't handle. I just wish he didn't trust me so much. Right? You ever feel like that? You're overwhelmed? That's when we need to put on our yoke and take that thunderbolt from the sky and walk and have Jesus walk with us. But when we do that, it means praying. So when life hits us, we don't stop. We drop to our knees and we pray for guidance and help. And not the kind of help that says, make me a success. You know, except for the Dallas Cowboys, God doesn't care who wins. The truth is, the prayer should be, God, you've given me skill. You've given me hands. You've given me a heart and a mind. Sharpen my mind. Hone my hands. Grow my heart. So that I can be a better person, a better leader. And that's how you get to success. Prayer in our darkest moments is what lifts us up. That movie, Shadowlands, about C.S. Lewis, where he falls in love with an American named Joy Gresham. He's at her bedside, struggling with terminal illness. She and Lewis have discovered the depth of their love. He arrives where he's been teaching. He meets Harry Harrington, the Episcopal priest. He asks what news there is. Lewis hesitates, deciding not to speak of the cancer or the marriage, but something else. And he ponders and he looks. He says, ah, good news, I think, Harry. Yes, good news. And Harrington, really not aware of what's going on in Joy's medical situation, says, I know it's been hard praying. Now God is answering your prayers. And Lewis, C.S. Lewis, looks. He thinks and he says, that's not why I pray, Harry. I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I'm helpless. I pray because a need flows out of me all the time, walking and sleeping. It doesn't change God. It changes me. That brings us full circle. Jesus says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. In other words, my yoke fits. And if you walk with me, your burden will be light. And if we take the entire gospel, that theme of prayer comes in. And I want to end with this thought. Great-grandparents, grandparents, and parents. When our children are real little, what do we do with them? Get dressed for bed, I'll read you a story, and we'll say our prayers. Now I lay me down to sleep. Y'all remember that? But as our kids get older, then what happens? If we do not teach our family to pray from the time they're little to the time they're in college to the time they have their own children and they're walking by themselves, personally, I want those golden arches around me so that I can pull in the same directions as Christ. Because when that happens, the burden is light.